Great. Yeah, you're here. Yeah. Hello. Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
I'm so tired right now.
Hello. Hi. Hello. 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 Hi. Yeah. We're missing a few. Yeah, you have time. Nice to see you too. How are you?
Ladies who were in my room last period, can you please tell me?
Oh, you're in trouble.
I was doing that.
Are you leaving?
Oh, yeah, I'm leaving, but I'll do that.
Okay. That's okay. So we lost a few.
We lost a few because we had a delay in program situation.
Okay. All right.
So sorry about that.
That's okay.
Will it be inappropriate for them to quietly join us?
They can. They can come on back in.
Okay. Fine.
Great. All right. This is 2 out of 10. Did anyone try to meditate after last week? How'd it go?
Not successful.
What happened?
I was just sitting there and then I just didn't want to do it anymore. So I
thought, okay, yeah.
All I heard was my grandfather's voice. He kept yelling on the TV.
Okay, we'll work with that. Yeah.
I tried it. I had my brothers and sisters. And it took 15 drops, so that was also another chunk of my time.
Right. Okay, yeah. Okay. In what way?
They go from I didn't complete this homework assignment to I'm not going to be successful to I'm going to die and be a failure.
Okay.
What?
Okay. The mind is quite something. It's good. We're going to work with the mind today. Anyone else? Did you try to meditate during the week and what happened? Yes. Yeah. Great. Yes. Why? So did you feel, what did you feel? You felt like you were falling asleep but passing out or? So interesting. That's pretty powerful for a 5-minute meditation. So very interesting. It's worth just experimenting with, but you can also, if you feel scared, you can always just open your eyes. Yeah, you can just open your eyes. But the things that you're all describing aren't unusual. The whole thing with noise is really, you learn how to work with it. I once went to North India, to the foothills of the Himalayas, to meditate for a month in silence. And it was the middle of this huge month-long pilgrimage in India where 1 million pilgrims come through exactly this tiny town of about 10,000 people. And they go marching up exactly where we were meditating in silence, banging their drums. And then they had little loudspeakers that are like 25-cent speakers that just crackle and crackle. And all night and all day for about 12 days, that's what we had to meditate to. And I thought, why did I come all the way to North India for this? And but I learned how to meditate through it. So this is something that we will practice. And it's valuable because we're always going to be in situations that aren't perfect and they're annoying and they're not what we wanted and the conditions aren't right and everything outside is not what we want it to be. So we can either become really frustrated and allow those external circumstances to dictate how we're going to feel and respond and act, or we're going to learn how to develop the ability to choose how we're going to relate to the circumstances around us. The issue with negative mental states. What happens when you meditate, you start to realize the kind of garbage that goes through your mind. I'm not going to fail. I'm useless. Everybody hates me. I'm not trying hard enough. Or, I don't know that many people like this, but I did know one fellow who, he always thought he was great. No matter what happened, he could make the biggest mess in the world. He always, the thoughts that went through his mind as he meditated, he just thought he was the best. Most of us don't have that, but they're just thoughts. Now we're going to learn to discern between thought, mind, and awareness today. And we're also going to start cultivating a interested detachment in relationship to the content of our mind. So this is an interesting thing. And then the last thing was about kind of out-of-body experiences. Where's my consciousness located? If I have a sense of awareness that's not in my brain, who am I really? These are the mysterious questions about the nature of mind and consciousness, which we're also going to talk about today. Now, the reason why we're doing this is the most important is we're doing this to develop inner strength. You can sit anywhere, it's fine. We're doing this to cultivate a sense of stability in relationship to our minds, our feelings, our hormones, the external world, people that frustrate us, little brothers and sisters that drive us crazy, parking, traffic, all these things that create frustration. We want to learn how to be able to anchor ourselves. And this is important. It's important when you're faced with an important job interview, a college interview, an exam that you don't feel prepared enough for. You're going to want to learn how to be able to detach from your feelings and be able to create enough ease so you'll perform as best as you can. And then there are also going to be other life situations that we just want to be able to be flexible and aware so we can respond. And some of them are life challenging, and some of them are just small moments where a little bit of kindness instead of, you know, a frustrated reactivity will make a huge difference in a situation. So that's what we're going to do. And We're gonna meditate first, then we're gonna talk about mind, thought, and awareness, which is there are very complex systems, both of neurological sciences and then also of particularly Buddhist and Hindu understandings of the mind. And they're not religious per se, but they're a doctrine of philosophy called the Abhidhamma. So we're gonna talk a little bit about that today, which is, it's kind of far out stuff, so it's fun. So first we'll just do a little bit of sound meditation, just so you can sit up with your back straight. It's better if you sit straight in your chair. And then you can close your eyes if you're comfortable. If you're not comfortable closing your eyes, just find a spot on the floor about 3-4 inches in front of, 3-4 feet in front of you, and just focus there, just gently. We don't need to do a meditation on the floor. Just relax your eyes. And I'll ring the bell and raise your hand when you stop hearing the sound. Great, we'll try it again. All right, we'll do that one last time. Great. So you feel the quality in the room changed. It got still. We were focused, but we weren't tense. You have to relax to really listen. And I'll keep thinking. And what we'll do right now, we'll do a 5-minute breath meditation. And again, if you start to feel different sensations, it happens. It doesn't always happen. It's not good or bad. So you don't want to try to have any kind of unusual experiences, and if you have them, it also doesn't really matter. What we're going to do is we're going to do a breath meditation. So sit up and make sure that your head is kind of straight and floating at the top of your neck, so that you really feel, you can almost feel the difference already in the quality of attention when you sit up, but relax. And bring your attention to the tip of your nose, to the air going in and the air going out. Let your breath be at the rhythm that it is naturally. There's no need to control it. Let the tension fall away from your face. And feel yourself paying attention from the inside out. You can feel the sensation of the breath in the nose, in the back of your throat, in the top of your lungs. As you pay attention to the breath, keep your focus soft and open. As thoughts come, as noises and distractions come, let them be there and continue to put your attention on the breath. You may start to feel like you're paying attention and you're also listening for something else just beyond what you can pay attention to. Keep paying attention. If you feel discomfort, if you feel time speeding up or slowing down, just be interested. And I'll ring the bells to end the meditation. Let the sound bring you up out of the meditative awareness. So that was 6 minutes. So how many thought it was about 25? And how many thought it was really short? Interesting. You see,
said they could have done more.
No, it just time just does interesting things when you meditate. And oh, that's not us. Okay. Okay. Great. We're going to do some short groups later about so you have a chance to talk about it. What I wanted to talk about now is I want to talk about the difference between mind, thought, and awareness. So, can anyone give a shot, take a guess at what the difference between those three things are? Go ahead.
I was going to say that awareness is being aware of body movements or involuntary movements or the things around you. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And I forgot the middle one that you said.
Is mind itself. What's mind itself? Mind and awareness, it's a subtle thing to tease apart, and often.
Yeah. I guess mind would just be thoughts that let you know that you felt that switch, or you feel the air behind
your neck. It's a knowing.
Yeah.
Right. That's great. That's really good. Did you want to say something?
Thoughts into words.
Mm. That's great. That's really good. What else? So what were you aware of in the meditation? Were you aware of your mind? Were you aware of awareness? Or were you aware of thought? You were aware of what? Of awareness. What was that like?
It was like,
Mm-hmm. It makes sense. What else? What other parts were you aware of? Yeah.
I feel like everything that you're aware of is extremely annoying. Like, I have these moments where I have involuntary movements.
Uh-huh.
And it's the worst because they make me feel uncomfortable. Like, I want to adjust, but because I'm practicing stillness, I don't want to move, and then I just become more annoyed over time because I still feel those involuntary movements and I still feel that discomfort.
So you feel like your muscles twitching or... What else were you aware of? Yeah.
Me?
Yeah, you.
Well, I knew that my body was moving. It was like dead. And I was like, why is it moving? I don't know. Like,
you felt like you were rocking? That happens. It's interesting when that happens. What was that? Oh, yeah. You felt numb. Your feet. Mm-hmm. Yes. Right. This in the breath meditation, you don't have to breathe slow or fast. What, you know, sometimes you find that you're breathing fast. Sometimes you find, like, when you start focusing on your breath, you can't even find it because it feels like you're hardly breathing. So learning the difference between mind, thought, and awareness is important because, again, it gives us control over ourselves, our hormones, other people, our reactivity, things we're frustrated with, and things that we want to accomplish. Now, thought, and we're going to do two different meditations to give an experiential difference. Thoughts are, the way we can think about them is they're like meteors that cross the night sky. They're these objects that pass through our mind. The brain is a mechanical entity that churns out thought. Some of the thought we do is useful, it's intelligent, it's worth paying attention to. We use our minds, they're incredible tools. And some of it is just conditioned habit. And the more we become aware of these conditioned habits, the more we can change our habits. So, you know, babies like to suck. I have a friend who just had a little baby. All he does is he wants to suck on, like, his little pacifier or anything he can find. He'll just suck on. It's a habit. It's a habit that he developed when he was in the womb. We have habits of mind. When he grows up, when he's 25, he's not going to be sucking on his pacifier anymore. We certainly hope not anyway. But habits of mind are similar. And when we start finding ourselves in negative habits of mind, we want to learn how to disregard them because otherwise they control us. So if we tend to have a lot of negative habits of mind, a lot of fearful habits of mind, a lot of critical, judgmental, angry, frustrated, ungrateful habits of mind, they will start to control how we are, and we will start acting in ways that are going to either make those habits of mind true, or they're just going to create a big mess for us and for everyone around us. Now, through meditation, we can start to see just thought as thought. We stop caring about the content of it. We see thought as part of what the mind does. It's just, it thinks. It churns out stuff. So we want to learn how to become, you know, masters of our own destiny by understanding the nature of thought, understanding how thought works, and then responding to it through the individual that we want to be. mind is similar to thought. Often it's called the capacity, like somebody over here was saying, the capacity to know. It's different than awareness. So the brain, the mind, has a capacity to know. We know things. We learn things, we know things, we perceive things, we can interpret things. The capacity to know is different than the objects of thoughts themselves. And then awareness or consciousness is the mysterious sense of presence of life. When I say focus on awareness, we're not focusing on knowing. We're focusing on that quality that's very hard to describe, where we seem to be aware. And what can be disconcerting, and what some people described, is when you start focusing on awareness, you can't locate it. You can't really find it inside, and you can't really find it outside. You can't find where it starts, you can't find where it ends, and it becomes very disorienting. I think I mentioned last time, in neuroscience, they're studying how we know what we know. They're mapping the different parts of the brain, and they're figuring out what, you know, love looks like, what fear looks like, where it maps onto the brain, what meditation looks like. The hard question of neuroscience, they call it, is why we seem to be aware. Why do we have that sense of knowing? Where did it come from? Where did it arise from? Do only human beings have it? If you have a dog, you probably, or a cat, you probably think your dog or cat has a sense of awareness. They know when you're coming home. They know when you're upset. So there's some sense of empathy, of relatedness that comes from the sense of awareness. So when we start to be able to discern between the three of them, we start to get a distance on our thoughts. So what we're going to do right now is we are going to do a meditation on thoughts, so we can start to see what the thoughts are. And this one's it's a little like a video game. So basically, we're going to sit in meditation. Now, before, I had you focus on your breath or on the sound. So this one, when the thoughts arise, I want you to put a bubble around it. And don't follow the content, but just follow that thought until it kind of disappears, and all of a sudden you see another thought coming. So you'll probably be better at this than I ever was, because I'm not so good at video games. But do you get so as thoughts start to come up, instead of making them go away, or instead of getting involved in them, is it a good thought, is it a bad thought? You know, if you're thinking about something you have to do, homework, or what your friend said to you, or what you want to say to another friend, or anything else, just put a bubble around it and follow it as far as you can until you realize you're actually thinking about something else. And we're going to go for 5 minutes, and I will do the bell afterwards. And this is going to be really interesting, because it's actually what you really want to do is try to catch the thoughts right when they're beginning, and as far as you can track them. So sit up. Okay. And I'll ring the bells to start and to finish. Make your body relaxed and alert. Relax your mind. Relax your face. And on the next thought, put it in a bubble and follow it as far as you can. Try to locate the thought as soon as it arises. Don't worry about the content of it. You may find that you seem to have no thoughts. Maybe you find yourself hearing noises. You can use that. Notice hearing, put a bubble around it, and follow that reaction until it disappears. Keep sitting up straight. Allow your body to be still and start watching the objects that are passing along your screen of awareness. And when you hear the bell, you can allow the sound of the bell to bring you out of the meditation. So, what I'd like is, I want to divide the room, I want to divide the room into four, and just kind of roughly four groups, and I want you to talk about what you noticed about trying to capture your thoughts in this way. What you noticed, and whether it was easier or harder than just watching your breath and why. And then we'll talk about it together. So we can just do like those four, these and those guys. Just for a couple minutes. You're. Your face looks totally different.
Yeah, I know. I can tell. I feel like I had better than a nap.
Yeah.
Maybe I thought, oh, I better just stop. This is too good. And the first time I had thoughts all over the place. And the second time I couldn't even hear them before I sent them away.
Yeah.
It was amazing. How fast you can change.
Amazing, huh?
I can't believe it. Sitting on the up there.
Oh, she does. She was great. I mean, you could see the total difference last time. Yeah.
Yeah, that's wonderful.
It's great. Everyone in the school is going to want to do it.
I know.
I think we're going to have a faculty one. What'd you notice? What was that? What did you notice? You had weird. You had. You didn't have to tell someone.
My tongue came off.
You had some kind of like.
I don't know, something happened. It was weird.
Weird.
Yeah, I had no tongue.
Fascinating.
It's not scary.
And amazing. Yes. You were really, really still. I could feel it. I have my eyes closed, but I can usually feel there are parts of the room that are still. Yes.
All right. So, when you rang the bell, I was doing the thing that you was like, listen to the sound, and then like, what I was thinking about. I was thinking about all this different stuff, and then I tried to put it in the bubble, like literally put it in the bubble.
Yeah.
Like, it was too bright in here for me to put it in the bubble. It had to be dirt. And then you put it in the bubble and eat. So then like, the bubble was too big. And then it kept going past my head and it came back. And I started to laugh.
It's amazing. Yes.
I was thinking about, like, because I have a phobia of gum.
Okay.
So it was a little gum from my head. And then when that went past, because I don't know, they came out of the door. And I was running, they was running behind me. And then, after that one passed, it was like, I was like walking on pillows.
Fascinating. But you could just see it all, right? You were, fascinating. You couldn't see anything. What was that? Did your mind just go blank when you tried to? No, it's very interesting. There's certain parts of the brain that become more sensitive. They've mapped this. They had all these Buddhist monks at MIT, and they mapped the brain. And there's a certain part here that does light up when the monks go into meditation. So it does. You can start to feel it in the brain. But it's also fascinating because thoughts do, when you start the mind India, they call the mind, you know, a monkey because it's constantly teasing you. And when you want to find it, it's not there. And when you don't want to find it, it's tormenting you. Yeah. Yes.
I was thinking about monkeys in the beginning.
Really?
Everything feels blank, and I can't think about anything.
Right. The thoughts just disappear because they don't want to be seen. Yeah.
No.
Right. Yes.
Like all my homework was like in different bubbles, it was like speeding away in different directions. And then I felt like I was on, I saw the Grand Canyon. I was like in like a cave opening. Mm-hmm. I just saw every single season, like spring, summer, winter, fall, just passing through.
Right, because that's what, see, you start to see that, that all this stuff just passes across and we're aware of it. Yes?
I got, you know, this weird impulse twice in the back of my head before, like, my brain was literally, like, having some type of beat. And in the beginning, like, I decided that my goal was to count every single thought that I had. I got up to an over 70. And then I got to the point where, like, on the back of my eyelids, I could see, like, a river and bubbles floating over it with the essential idea in it. So that was cool.
That's very cool, because you're starting to actually just, you weren't concerned with the content of the thoughts, but just the fact that there were thoughts. That's interesting. So, okay. So very interesting. So we're starting to isolate thought, and we're having all kinds of experiences in it. We're going to do a short meditation. I think we'll just have 3 minutes. Because I want to focus on awareness, on the backdrop of awareness. So we were just looking at thought. So this is hard. I mean, we've already done, we did sound, we did breath, we did meditation on thought, an exercise on thought, and now we're going to do an exercise on awareness. So this is a lot. It's a lot all at once. But it's good to get introduced to all these different things, but obviously it's a lot to work them. Awareness, so mind is that which knows. We know things. We react to thought and we know things. And that's what mind does. In the classical Eastern psychology that they call Abhidhamma, it's the psychology of mind, they say that the nature of mind is just like clear light, but it has the capacity to know. And then awareness, as we talked about, is that backdrop, that something that seems to be alive or aware without us doing anything. That's what we're going to focus on now. So we just looked at the objects of consciousness, and now we're going to look at consciousness. So we're not going to be looking at anything in particular. And this is it's my favorite way to meditate, because the experience tends to be one of, once you get over a little bit of discomfort around it, you tend to start experiencing a sense of well-being and a sense that there's something wholesome and positive about the current of life.
Please find the interruption, Mr. Poindexter. Please contact the main office. Thank you.
So with that, we'll just see what happens, and we'll do that, and then, okay. So we'll sit up straight. It's good to keep your head up when you meditate, not lie down on the desk, because when you lie down, what happens is, and you try to meditate, if you're going to lie down, you might as well just rest and not meditate. But if you lie down and try to meditate, what happens is you end up generating a lot of negative thought. I don't know why it works that way, but it tends to work that way. So if you don't want to meditate, that's okay, but don't meditate with your head on the desk. Okay, so we'll do 3 minutes. So allow all the interest and fascination and questions about everything we've done to just fall away. And imagine that you're lying on your back outside looking at the night sky. What we're looking at is the blackness of the sky, not the stars within it. Keep putting your attention on that backdrop. Pay attention to its qualities, its presence. Allow yourself to relax and just see what's there. Did you feel the difference? Did everyone bring your folder from last week?
Yeah.
Great. So we have 2 minutes, I think, or a minute and a half. Just really quick. I want you to write down 2 things about the meditation today that you think will be useful. Yes. You didn't get one. I didn't bring extras. Do you have any plain paper?
I don't, but I can get you some.
Yeah, just...
No problem.
We won't have much. Okay. Just 1 sheet, I think, is all we need. Do you have any? There we go. You're all right. Yeah. Okay, we're okay. So just 1 thing about what we were told, either about the meditation, something that you saw about your mind, or something about the difference between thought, mind, and awareness that's going to be valuable. Do you need a piece of paper? Do you have another sheet of paper for her? Yeah.
Okay, so I'm giving out homework. Uh-huh. If I didn't hand you one, take one. There are supervisor and student forms there if you need them. And here's the homework. All of it. Monday, first period.